podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Matthew 25, starting with verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." A typical wedding in our tradition, the most important moment of that wedding is when the bride walks into the room. Everybody waits for that moment. But in the Hebrew tradition, the most important moment was when the bridegroom arrived. You see, the marriages were arranged marriages. A man would choose a girl that he wanted to marry, and he would approach that girl's parents, and there would be arrangements made, a price would be paid, and then the groom would go away in order to prepare for his new family and his new bride, and it would take about a year, maybe even longer, for him to get things set up the way he wanted them, and then he would return, and he would come for his bride, and the wedding ceremony would begin, and what a celebration it was. But our story, this story that Jesus told, there are 10 bridesmaids, and they're involved in this whole drama of waiting for the bridegroom to return, to begin the festivities, to start the wedding banquet. But the bridegroom does not come as quickly as they expect. It takes a little longer than they were expecting. And so here are 10 bridesmaids, and our story says that they have all fallen asleep, because the groom is taking longer than they thought, and they were getting drowsy, and they just fell asleep. And imagine going to a wedding, and the wedding party walks up to the platform. You know, you've got the groomsmen, all the bridesmaids, the ring bearer, the flower girl, the preacher, the groom. They're all up here ready to go, and then the music hushes, and everyone in the congregation turns toward the door to wait for that moment. And seconds become minutes, and minutes become awkward hours, and everybody just sits and waits. What on earth is going on back there? What is happening? Where is the bride? And then finally, the doors open, and the bride comes in all of her glory and walks down the aisle, proceeds to the front. Everyone turns their head and looks to the front, and the whole wedding party is asleep. That's what happens in Jesus' story. The bridegroom arrives, and the bridesmaids are asleep. They just couldn't wait that long. That's not all, though. Once the bridesmaids wake up, they grab their torches, these poles with oil lamps on the top, the same types of lamps, the same Greek word that's used for those who came to arrest Jesus. They were carrying those same types of torches, and these bridesmaids all had those torches with them. Apparently, there was going to be some type of a procession with the bridegroom and the bridesmaids leading the bridegroom to the celebration, and they all trim their lamps and prepare their lamps and light them. But out of the 10, we're told that just half of them, 5, actually had oil with them and were able to light their lamps successfully and have them stay lit, because only 5 of them remembered to bring a flask of oil. Well, so picture the scene now. The bridegroom has returned. The bridesmaids have been woken up. They're all groggy and tired. They're reaching for their torches, their lamps. They're trying to light them. They're looking for their oil. Now you have five bridesmaids with lit lamps, and you have five bridesmaids panicking, running around, clicking their Bic lighters, unable to keep anything lit, and mortified by the fact that they are not prepared for the groom. What a frustrating scene that would be. So now what? Well, in the story, the bridegroom is not going to wait. He's not going to wait. He is ready. And in the story, the five bridesmaids with the oil don't have enough to help the others out. They're going to keep their oil because there's not enough for the others. And so they say, you know what? Maybe you can find an oil merchant that's open. Maybe somebody at this hour is still open. Or maybe you can knock on the door and wake them up and purchase some oil from someone. Hurry, go, get some. The procession continues. And the bridegroom is escorted by five bridesmaids with lit torches through the streets of the town to the place where the bride is waiting and where the wedding feast is going to take place. The door is already open. They come through the door, the whole wedding party, minus five, and they shut the door behind them. Meanwhile, our five foolish bridesmaids have managed to get some oil to light their lamps, and now they finally made it to the wedding feast, and they stand at the door, and they knock. Please let us in. Lord, Lord, let us in. But it's too late. The bridegroom speaks through the door, and he says, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? I mean, that is a harsh story. Things don't usually happen that way at weddings, do they? But Jesus told the story in order to illustrate some harsh reality. So he told a harsh story to show us something that is true of the end times. Look at verse 13 of Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says, the moral to the story is this: keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In the last days, Jesus says time and time again through his stories, he says, we must remain alert and prepared because we do not know the day or the hour. Some are going to enter the feast of eternity and others are going to be left outside in the dark and in the cold. The party is going to begin, and there's going to be some on the outside, some on the inside. Those on the outside are there because they were not alert, they were not prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. Scripture tells us that Jesus is coming again. The bridegroom is returning. In fact, we're told in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 9, that after this, after he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. So after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's standing upon a hill, and he ascends up to heaven. Suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, speaking to the disciples, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. But you know what? It's been nearly 2,000 years since that happened. It's been nearly 2,000 years. We've sat looking at the door, waiting for the bridegroom. And minutes have become hours, and hours have become days, and days have become years, and years have become decades, and decades have become centuries, centuries, millennium, and we sit staring, waiting for the return of the bridegroom, and many have concluded he's not coming. They've given up hope, like the bridesmaids in the story. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing. Dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Let's see, 2,000 years, well, it's been almost 2 days, hasn't it? The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We are still waiting for the bridegroom to return. And he is returning, no matter the scoffers, no matter those who say everything's like it always has been, no matter those who have forgotten all about God, no matter those who laugh when you talk about Jesus Christ returning, he still is returning. He is our only hope for the future. There are some questions that pop into my mind when I read this story. One of them is this: is the church awake? Is the church awake? We've got 10 bridesmaids sleeping. They lost their hope. Maybe he's not coming, and they got weary. I wonder if at times the church can be pictured as asleep, weary, lost hope. Look at Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. It says, "But the exact day and the hour, no one knows that, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father." So it's, you know, the coming of Christ, his return, is a highly guarded secret. And it's more highly guarded than the Coca-Cola formula, right? That it's more highly guarded than the fact that today is Deborah Spalding's birthday. Not anymore. It's more highly guarded than the recipe to Jean Carroll DeLapp's lemon pound cake. It is highly guarded. The only one who knows is the Father. So we don't know. Keep a sharp lookout, for you don't know the timetable. It's like a man who takes a trip, leaving home, putting his servants in charge, each assigned to a task, commanding the gatekeeper to stand watch. So stay at your post watching. You have no idea when the homeowner's returning. Whether evening, midnight, cock crow, or morning, you don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. I say it to you, and I'm saying it to all. Stay at your post. Keep watch. I wonder how many workers in the course of their time working, night watchmen, have been caught asleep on the job. And what about us in the church? I wonder if at times we can be guilty of sleeping on the job. Now, we live in a crucial time. 236 years ago, this nation was declared independent, free to worship as we please, free to pursue God with all of our hearts, free to live our lives based on the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, free. Now, 236 years later, people seem to have lost hope. Maybe that's because we've misplaced our hope. We put our hope in our government. Government's not doing a good job. We put our hope in our economy. How's that going for you? We put our hope in sources of energy. If we could only drill more oil, things would be great, wouldn't they? We put our hope in our resources. We put our hope in our president. And we don't like him. We put our hope in the candidate who's to come after him. The job of the church is to stay awake and point people to the true hope the only hope, the hope that is Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is returning. We need to stay awake. We're tempted to fall asleep, though, like those bridesmaids, because it's taken them a long time. It's taken them all our lifetime. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus ascended, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. Look at Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see what our job is? Live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives waiting for His return. That's our job. Church, we better wake up, because the only hope for this world is the bridegroom. And we are the only ones who have been called, the only ones who have been called to point out that hope to others. To call the world, unbelievers, away from the things that they put their hope in that are empty and toward the hope that is real. There's a second question that pops into my mind, and that is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? There are tragic words in the story that Jesus told. The tragic words are at the end where the bridegroom says, "I do not know you." Well, those are words that none of us want to hear. I don't ever want to hear those words from Jesus coming from behind the door with a wedding feast going on and eternity in heaven, and "I don't know you." Five of the bridesmaids woke up. They readied their lamps. Five did not. What was the difference between them? The oil. Some of them had it. Some of them didn't. In the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It often represents the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes upon us as human beings when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So my take on the story is that all 10 bridesmaids represent the church. They represent the church, but only 5 of them are really saved. There are 5 of them that don't really have the Lord. They don't really know Him. And the only way to prepare for Christ's return is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. To put your faith in Him and Him alone for your salvation. That's the only way to be prepared for the returning of the bridegroom. There are going to be 3 surprises when we get to heaven, I heard someone once say. One is, who is not here? We're going to be surprised by who's not there. Second one is, who is there? We'll be surprised by who is there. Third one is, we're going to be surprised that I am here, because we did nothing on our own to deserve heaven. It's through Jesus Christ that we receive that gift. There was a little girl who was talking to her teacher about whales, and the teacher began to tell her, well, it's physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human being, and even though it has a very large mouth and it's a very large mammal, its throat is very, very small, and therefore it can't swallow a human being. Well, the little girl said, well, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher became very irritated by this, because she knows better. And she continued to say, a whale cannot swallow a human being. It's physically impossible. And the little girl said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher said, well, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl said, then you ask him. Really, the only determining factor concerning what side of the door you're going to be on, the only determining factor concerning what side of the door you're going to be on is this: do you have oil in your lamp? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That is the only determining factor. Last question comes to mind is this: do we recognize what's at stake? Do we recognize what is at stake? There are 5 bridesmaids sitting and waiting for the groom, falling asleep without any oil. What is at stake in all of that? Well, they didn't get into the wedding feast. That's a disappointing day, but life goes on, right? if we fall asleep unprepared, unsaved, forgetting all about the bridegroom, what is at stake? Eternity. Eternity. It's much more than a bad day. We have been talking a lot about Jesus recently in this passage, or this sermon series, All Eyes on Jesus. And this is our final message in that series. Not that we're going to stop talking about Jesus, but this is just the final message in that series. He is our only hope. I hope throughout all of our time looking at the characteristics of Jesus and his personality and his authority and his life, that one thing we can grasp is this, that our only hope in this world is him. Jesus is my only hope. Can you say that? Jesus is my only hope. Do you believe that? We need to wake up and we need to be prepared because he is returning. And there is much to be lost. And there is even more to be gained for those who know him. So let's stay awake and keep our lamps and our oil handy. Jesus is our only hope, and he is coming again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, we regret the fact that at times we don't live with the urgency and the passion that we should. Father, we recognize that our Savior Jesus is returning, and it could be today. Father, help us to live with that urgency, to live lives of holiness and righteousness, to live lives that are exemplary, to live lives that tell the world that we love you and we belong to you. Father, help us to be alert and prepared for the second coming. I pray, Father, for anyone who might be here today who has heard these words and feels they aren't prepared. Lord, I pray that they might put their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for them on the cross, that they might have salvation for eternity. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.